There you go.
I'd like to call to order the December 5th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Vehicle Parade Commission. Would the director like to take roll to establish a quorum, please?
Yes, Rick Butfield.
Present.
Stephen Bergeron.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Okay. We'll start out with old business, but I'd like to just tell the audience that if anybody wants to speak about any project here, they should fill out a comment request card if you're not actually the applicant. Under old business, we'd like to see if there's an applicant present for 1039 Burgundy Street. There is. Could we have the report, please?
Sure. 1039 Burgundy is a green rated main building and an incorporated attached service building and garage. This is a proposal to install a new opening at the rear of the green rated main building. Our application materials received May 24, 2022 and November 21st, 2023, respectively. This new opening has been presented to the committee and deferred several times and did not proceed to full commission review with the rest of the proposed work. The applicant is requesting a determination regarding the door as they are currently preparing construction documents after pausing the project for some time. The existing rear door at the service cell is not original and is poorly proportioned. It's still unclear when it was added or if the opening itself is historic. The opening shape and size will be modified and the door replaced with a pair of French doors to match those on the side and front elevations of the main building at 8'10" tall. Despite a site visit for this purpose, staff has still not fully seen the French doors of the main building as the shutters have been secured closed, but they have several odd features including raised trim around the lights and an extremely shallow kick rail. Staff will need to be given access to the existing doors prior to review construction documents in order to compare these details and to verify that the millwork to be matched is appropriate and historic since they should not be copied if they are not. The design guidelines state that the quote, arrangement, size, and proportions of a window and door openings are key components of a building's style and character. As a result, the modification or addition of a window or door opening is discouraged, particularly on a more prominent building facade. If this pair of doors is found conceptually approvable by the committee, the guidelines require commission review and approval for a new opening on a green rated building.
Thank you. The applicant would like to state their name, address, and relationship to the property.
John Williams, 824 Rome Street. I'm the project architect.
Patrick Capella, 824 Rome Street. I'm with Williams as well.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report?
Yeah, the staff report covered everything. This door, like in the report, was in our drawings in what got conceptually approved in January, but this one was not approved because this is the only one that is itself a new opening. All the other, if you count the doors facing the courtyard, the other four doors are existing openings. One of them was going to be an infilled archway. Originally, like, one of the important differences between what was approved in January and what we're looking at today is that in January we had proposed that all five doors facing the courtyard would be 8 feet tall, which is a little bit smaller than the existing doors at 8'10". What we've changed since then is that this door is going to be 8'10". It's going to match all of the other doors that are on the green rated part of the building facing Ursuline and Burgundy, so that all of the doors on Ursuline, Burgundy, and facing the courtyard are all now matching doors. They're all going to be milled to be exactly the same, which I think is better. But the three doors on the orange rated part of the building will be a little bit smaller because we don't have the same ceiling height in those rooms. And the only difference between these two doors and the existing doors that would face Ursuline would be that these do not get shutters because the shutters that are existing are the not approvable split shutters. But we would want them to match. Basically, the green rated building will now all have, I think, six doors that all match rather than what's there now, which is a wide, weird door, and then the ones on the Ursuline side are what's existing. I know they've been there since at least 1945 because that's what was in the VCC library, and that's what they looked like the whole time. So.
And if you look at this, it's kind of, it's not kind of like a missing tooth. It's like there's a rhythm around the green rated building, and they have openings kind of in a rhythm, and then this skips that rhythm. And so if you look at what we're proposing, and it just looks unusual from the inside, and it looks unusual from the outside to have that blank wall there. And the owner is changing this from three apartments to a single family home. So this is more, you know, they have more room. It's a kind of a large living room, and they would very much like to, they're putting in a pretty big effort to make this a very nice single family home in the French Quarter, and they would like for you all to consider having us have permission to put this, these double doors that match all the other double doors that wrap around the building, even the Burgundy. And if you can look at the rhythm of it, it just makes sense. So they are, and everything else has been approved. So we're here to do with you to allow us to go to there, allow us to make this doorway into their living room, the garden, approvable. That's our.
I did want to say, too, when I met with Aaron on site, we talked about the idea of retaining some of the brick, the grain-rated brick that would be removed on site, and using that to infill where needed on the grain-rated part of the building and the orange-rated. I just think that that's a nice way to retain some of that brick. And I think this is nice because you now have seven openings on the grain-rated part of the building that match, rather than five and one that doesn't match in kind or in rhythm.
So we're asking to change the door opening that's there and add this one here in the blank spot.
Got it. Okay. Any questions for the applicant or comments on the proposal from the committee?
I think when looking at new openings, I'm usually looking for some evidence of historic openings. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any indication on the inside of this building as to what the original opening configuration was on the back of this building?
Unfortunately, and I sent some photos to Aaron yesterday, when we have pictures, like the earliest picture that I have of this face of the building is from 1945, and at that time it was a car repair shop that's blocking what I can see on that wall, so I can't see what was there before.
Yeah, this is
we know from the style of this door that it's not an original opening in the green-rated part of the building, but I can't see everything from the first floor back before 1945.
And we asked about interior brick scarring multiple times over when this was all previously reviewed, and you said there was nothing to indicate.
The bricks, unfortunately, have also been refinished on the inside, and they have that wax like seal that kind of covers anything that we would be able to see.
Okay.
They're like pre-shades darker than what they should be. Basically.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? See no public comment.
So forgive me, there's been a lot of reviews going on for a while, so I don't recall everything off the top of my head. The modification of this opening with the fan light and the arch has been approved to be modified already?
Yes, sir.
To match the other.
Adding for the second. They're adding, asking for the second.
Right, I know. Yeah. And that was because this is not an original opening?
Well, basically, everything that got approved in January is a technically a modification of an existing opening. This particular door is a completely new opening.
Right. I'm just trying to some context as to why this opening, even if it's 1945, was a problem. Just, please just catch me up.
All right.
Why was it approved to be modified? Does anyone recall that motivation?
Yeah. I think it was just that we, the 1945 photos, we still don't see it, right?
It's something that we think. Yeah, we can't see any of it.
So it looked to me like from going on site that this was a change that was made when the orange rated building was built, because it is the same millwork, same arch shape, all of that. And there's really some indicators with this, with that arch, that it was a later intervention. And since it's so atypical, and we're scrapping all the millwork that matches that is on the service cell, and all of that is going to be removed and replaced with something else.
I remember that it's sort of like an odd sort of
this is an anomaly to begin with.
Right.
And so we wanted to fix the anomaly so that it would match the other green-rated openings.
Is there any trouble
with
this?
And I think the staff is asking to get into the building to see those openings, because those shutters are kind of permanently shut on the outside, and they have that there. They have that going all the way around.
The sides? Straight facing sides?
We wouldn't be able to do now.
It's a whole inconsistent.
We're not going to do shutters on this opening, but we will have it match the inside, so all the openings will have a rhythm and match.
I mean, the shape
of
the opening, the spacing of the opening.
When we're modifying this,
yeah.
It makes sense to have this other opening.
And this does activate the courtyard, yeah. So from a giving point of view, that makes sense.
And this has remained in the family since the garage.
It's a nice piece of furniture.
That was their business.
To go back to what you were saying about us getting the approval for
my issue is
the door to the right.
We've had
we
so
have a set of plans
this,
from 1966 that shows that opening there,
this again.
And then it's a set of plans that also talks about renovating the orange rated part of the building.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I think they renovated the orange rated part of the building, added those smaller doors, and then put this door on at the same time.
Got it.
And the door is an anomaly, and the proportions are not
is that
what we preferred.
So this thing is seven of them, so it'd be for these.
So we're just trying to unify the series of openings.
Okay, forgive me for not remembering this either. The openings that they're in the garage, are those matching the size and shape of the opening that you're proposing here?
No, those are matching the size and shape of the orange rated.
Okay.
There's a series, I think it's in
openings
here.
In the garage?
Yeah, the ones in the garage that are facing the court.
Of course, it's facing
those are two existing windows. Those aren't the
okay, they just we just don't have a drawing of that. Since we're kind of talking about the coherence of this courtyard, it's just an elevation that's missing from
the drawing. You have those two openings. You have this would make the two openings opposite it.
Those are two existing windows that we don't plan on touching.
Right. That's
the one we are.
That's what we're talking
about.
That's
the main hub, yeah.
You've approved the one on the right. We had the one on the left in the drawings. We thought it was conceptually approved, and then we're back today to get it approved. And then after we get this approved, hopefully, then we'll go for construction document approval, and we want to begin work sometime in January.
There's still the elevator, which is
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
I,
is.
Just to let you know about the elevator, we have found. Because of you all asking us to keep searching, I think we found a solution so that we don't have to cut the brick out.
Yeah, perfect. We should have guaranteed, well, we're looking on solutions.
We're working on those solutions. So.
Great. Okay. Well, I think the question that why don't you continue with your question about the creation of a new opening, because I think that's the historic fabric question, the coherence of this courtyard. And the kind of the single expression that you're trying to create is probably a little bit separate from the preservation issue. So why don't you continue your questions?
Yeah, I guess as a strictly preservation issue, I would be interested in the staff's comment on whether or not these openings would be typical for the courtyard-facing side of a building like this. And one thing I'm noticing as I'm looking at some of these openings that are on the street-facing side is that they are further apart, which I think allows the shutters to lay flat against the wall, and there's no conflict with the shutters. And these two proposed openings, the one existing that's modified and the new proposed opening, are a little closer together, 2'5", and I'm not sure if there would be a shutter conflict or if they would be.
I wrote in my description that these would not have shutters. And to my knowledge, these shutters are not approvable anymore because they're split at the top.
And the openings on the garage side, which mirror these two openings, have no shutters. They're just open, right?
Yeah, we're not going to put shutters on the courtyard side because they wouldn't match shutters.
Okay, because we did we described these two openings as matching the other openings on the green-rated building.
Yes, sir.
And so to me, that would mean that whether you put shutters on them or not, they would be intended at some point to receive shutters. Or
no,
I don't know. Like as a
I agree with you, it wouldn't match, but the shutters are just quirky, and I think we would either have to replace all of them or get those shutters approved again, but they're not approvable anymore. So
I think in answering your first question, I don't think that it's atypical to have, you know, this kind of arrangement from the main house overlooking the courtyard. And I do understand the argument about creating, you know, sort of replicating the rhythm of openings, whereas this one singular opening that I assume is, it looks narrower than the current opening, is that correct? You know, I think does seem more unusual to have just the one opening and not with a large blank wall space. Although I'm not saying that would be atypical or appropriate, I think either way it could be considered part of the pattern.
The other thing that I've seen fairly regularly with this type of opening is to have a set of French doors with a fan light and then a bank of windows next to it rather than additional openings. Mm-hmm. Because in theory, if this were a, you know, typical green rated building with a typical attached service hall, not one that was scabbed on later and openings that vary from what they had been before, those doors would then lead to the loggia and have stairs, you know, adjacent to them. You would then, on the opposite side of that, have a window that provides light going down the alleyway. There's no alleyway here for that, so it's a little apples to oranges.
And at any rate, a conceptual approval of this would require commission approval because of the rating of the building.
Any new openings.
And so I guess we go back to motivation. So
yes,
we kind of talked about preservation. Now let's talk about the motivation is that your clients want to have more visual connection to their courtyard.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And so that's
yes.
that's the reason why you're proposing this. And where the shutters on the street are normally closed, these will always be open, so they'll light to the rear of the house. So these
right.
are, it's light and air, it's visual connection to the amenity
it's
that the courtyard represents.
It's a light and air issue, and, you know, that's historically how, you know, the older French Quarter buildings were, is like letting air get through because, when this building was built, there was no air conditioning. So
my kind of general thinking about this, I think the preservation issue is a real one, but when I look at this building, I see a structure which has been highly evolved from its original configuration. So while we have a green rated building, it's been a highly altered green rated building, and then with the addition of the wing and the garage and all the alterations that are being proposed as part of this scope of work, we're really evolving this building pretty significantly away from its historic origin. What is being maintained is the street face and the relationship of the building fundamentally to the street, which is kind of the tout ensemble component of this. I'm thinking that, and this is just me speaking pretty freely, that this intervention kind of is modest in relation to all the other changes that happened to this building and the changes that have already been approved for the orange and brown rated portions of the building. So I would tend to say that this is a design-governed decision more than a preservation one. I'm generally in favor of it. So, but that's just one vote. Or maybe not even a vote, who knows. So, is there any other comment you'd like to make before we go to a motion?
No, sir.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 1039 Burgundy Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1039 Burgundy, moved by Mr. Fogfield's words and argument, I move to conceptually approve the addition of an opening with and forward a positive recommendation to the full commission.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Thank you very much. So we'll be going to the commission?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's next week.
Yes, it should be. We haven't
combined
everything yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Next
we'll
item is 908 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present for 908 St.
Yeah.
Peter? Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 908 St. Peter is a green-rated main building service building. Is a proposal to address work completed beyond the previously approved scope of the Brewery building. Completing rebuilding the demolished chimney, the application materials received March 14th and November 17th, respectively. This project was initially reviewed and approved by the Architecture Committee back at the March 28th meeting. The plans were finalized and permits issued on April 21st. Then an inspection on September 29th revealed that the scope of the approved work had been greatly exceeded. Issues related to the front building were reviewed at the November 7th meeting. Now the applicant has submitted a proposal to address the work at the rear building that exceeded the scope of the approved work. At the inspection in September, staff found that the chimney in the rear building had been completely demolished. The applicant proposed to rebuild the chimney to match previously existing and using salvaged bricks, but only from the roof rafters up, leaving the interior portion demolished. The BCC has approved similar exterior-only chimney modifications in the past, provided they utilize authentic materials and are structurally sound. Staff questions reconstructing this chimney from the roof rafters only, rather than extending it through the attic to the joists below. Provided that the applicant can show that this reconstruction will be structurally sound, staff finds the reconstruction of the exterior portion of the chimney to match the previously existing condition conceptually approvable. Staff also questions if this proposed chimney condition would have structural implications for the building as a whole. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposal with the applicant to submit an engineer's report regarding the proposed chimney support and overall building structure.
Would you like to state your name and address in relationship with the property, please?
Sure. Jason Richards with Studio West Architects, 2340 Dauphine Street. We are the architects for the project.
Do you have a statement that you'd like to make or response to the staff report?
Briefly, yes. We reviewed the staff report. We agree with it. And we'll get a set of stamped structural plans to the BCC before we proceed with the work.
So you refer to structural drawings in your set. Are those?
Yeah, we had Jenny Snape with Mariah Consultants had put, I believe it was in the original submittal back in April or March. So this is a depiction of her design, which is essentially angles following the rafters with densely spaced plates beneath the chimney itself. And the original design that we interviewed and approved here was to retain the chimney, and obviously it got removed. So we're going to implement the same structure and then just rebuild the masonry to what Becky was doing.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant? Comments on the proposal?
I don't have any, Rick.
Is there any public comment? I see no public comment. You know, these, how does staff feel about this digital chimney that's not part of a actual firebox? And
my concern was just, aside from the intellectual exercise of something that's not historic looking like it's historic, was, you know, that's why we requested some engineering, just to understand, make sure that this, as engineered, was appropriate, but also, did the chimney have something to do with the structural integrity of the building that is now compromised because it was removed? So, you know, I didn't want to create more of a problem because we have something that's creating moment on the roof with nothing adequately supporting below that was building relying on. Intellectually, regarding the preservation issue, we have tended to get away from false chimneys because they do represent a false history. But I do think that they are aesthetically an important part of our roofscapes. So
the guidelines do call for them to be reconstructed if they collapse or if they're removed without a permit because of in order to deter people from removing them wholesale.
And do keep in mind, this one wasn't supposed to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that, generally speaking, you can help us with this. Chimneys were generally thought of as being self-supporting and independent of the wood structure around them, just because they tend to settle a little bit differently. So the issue that I think we might have here is imposing a load on the wood and masonry structure that was never intended for the building, which is why I'm glad that you're asking for a structural report. And I'm remembering application we had recently for a chimney that had been replaced poorly, probably at the requirements of the VCC without adequate support, that caused further structural decay in the building. So I think this is just a really difficult question. We don't have the jurisdiction to require them to rebuild the chimney through the structure. So it's either we accept kind of a structural patch to support this chimney, or we lose the chimney.
Right.
So when, this is for you, when you drew these drawings for this building, how did you anticipate the treatment of the chimney as part of the interior arrangement of the building?
Yeah, the owner's request was to have more free space in the floor, so we had reviewed, Jenny West did most of this, and she can't make it today, so she has a history on it, but we reviewed it and discussed that it would be okay to support the chimney from below in a method similar to what we're showing here.
So it was only the loss of the visible part of the chimney that was part of that diverged from your original plan.
Yes, but yeah, what happened is we went out to the job site, saw that the chimney was missing, and called staff.
And this one was kind of unusual, right, Brian? In this, I mean,
it's a small space.
It's
with a large
very
chimney.
Small
yeah.
space with a
yeah,
giant
large
chimney.
Yeah, and you can see in the
pretty much the whole room.
Yeah, you can see in the
like
transverse
cooking,
section
cooking
that
chimney.
It's in the middle yeah. of the space, so it was
but
not
facing a weird way.
Yeah, it was not attached to the wall. It was like a freestanding gigantic.
How visible is this from any other location?
From
oh, it's visible from the street.
Yeah,
I'm seeing it from the street.
And from Dauphine, it also is, I believe. Dauphine? Yes.
Mm. I think this really
from
talks
the
about
side.
How this building is used.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Yeah, right there. That's from.
Yeah,
St.
that's
Peter.
It's an important chimney.
Yeah.
I mean, it really talks about why this building is configured the way it is. Well, okay. We've asked for public comment. There's none. Is there any other questions for the applicant?
No questions for the applicant, but I guess I would just like to say that I think we need to reconsider how we treat chimneys in applications, and when folks are intending to demolish the interior components of a chimney, we have to be aware that doing that puts the exterior component at great risk of loss. And I'm not so sure that we don't have jurisdiction over that, but I would like to get some more details on that from someone who knows more about it. But, you know, like this is a real sad case where we talked about this. We approved the demolition of the interior part of the chimney, and now we've lost the whole deal.
And I'm not so sure. Did our discussion of this chimney when we...
I don't recall.
See, I don't know if we were actually aware of planning changes.
We may look at plans, but we don't approve interior floor plans.
So, we may not,
so that may not even been part of the equation.
Right. Yeah.
That may be something, though, that we should be more aware and cognizant of, but, you know, considering that's not part of our review.
Yeah.
This project might... way off the rails.
Yeah.
Way off the rails.
So I think that what I said is this chimney is important to the understanding of why this service building is here. And so I think that we need to agree with the architect that reconstructing it is important. I do think that it's vitally important that we have a good structural report. And, you know, I mean, just this is for the architect as much as anything. I think that in terms of continuity and putting that much mass on the roof of the building, I would reconsider how much, where you are actually supporting this. I mean, there's no lateral support for this chimney at all in your design. You might want to bring it down and support it on a different element of the building, say the horizontal structure below, just so you have a little continuity through the roof. Because I don't see anything that's going to keep this thing staying there. I mean, that's just me. But your structural engineer is
yeah,
a good
we'll
one.
Yeah, we'll defer to what the structural engineer says. In addition to a stamp drawing, I'll just ask that she has an explanation of the lateral support of the building.
Well,
she can explain.
So the things that I think that the staff needs to be interested in are the transfer of loads onto the masonry structure that were not necessarily designed to bear those loads, especially as point loads, and then the lateral support for the chimney in the event that any part of that wood structure moves, because it looks like it could move. It looks in the photographs like it is moving. So is there a motion in the matter of 908 St. Peter Street?
Yes, in the matter of 908 St. Peter, I move to conceptually approve the proposed reconstruction of the chimney with the applicant to submit an engineer's report and final details to the staff for final approval.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Next item is 717 Orleans Avenue. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 717 Orleans is primarily an orange-rated building with a blue-rated Orleans ballroom structure. This is a proposal to renovate the building with courtyard, including enlarging the courtyard-facing doors. Application material received August 29th and November 13th. When this was last reviewed by the Architecture Committee at the November 7th meeting, the committee recommended a few alternatives to the proposed changes to the doors on the Bourbon Street elevation of the building. At front on St. Anne Street. The size and shape of the modified openings remains the same as was previously proposed, but the applicant has returned with two new options for the light patterns of the doors. In option one, the applicant is showing a more contemporary three light per leaf with an outer frame and horizontal lintels. This light size measures approximately 2 feet tall by 1 foot 10 inches wide. This size light is slightly smaller than the one seen in the single light windows above these openings, which measures about 2 feet 5 inches tall by 2 feet 2 inches wide. In option two, a center vertical lintel is added to each leaf, dividing the leaf into six lights. Staff finds the proposed modifications to these openings could be successful, and each of the two proposed door light patterns may also be successful. If the desire is to have this millwork appear more contemporary, that may be more clearly presented in the simpler option one. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property.
Ken Gowland, Metro City Architect, 6501 Spanish Fort Boulevard, the architects for the project. The last time we were with you guys, we had a door option that was more in line with the third floor balcony condition that's above. The review committee had some comments that it was a bit of an awkward configuration, especially because we had glazing below the center check rail condition on it, and suggested that we perhaps look at light pattern one being maybe, you know, a little bit more of a contemporary expression to reflect the condition of this being a newer condition. And then we did look at a alternate configuration that was more glazing scale in line with other conditions. So the glazing scale that is at the third floor balcony doors, we were looking at a potential a little bit closer to that. Plus, as you guys remember, the prior openings that are in the portion of the courtyard elevations closer to Bourbon Street. Again, this was kind of respecting that glazing scale that was on those openings. We did look at other options. These were the two that seemed to have more of a natural, less forced feel in terms of the relationship to the other elements of the courtyard. And so we narrowed our presentation to you guys to these two options. But in both options, we did want to respond to the comment that the mid-rail line, not particularly appropriate, and the light pattern that was in the previous door design wasn't particularly comfortable or well-suited to its location. So that's it.
Great, thanks. Any questions or comments for the applicant or the staff?
Not much for me. I do think this is an improvement, and I'm partial to option one.
And I would entirely concur. I mean, I think that both options address the concerns that we raised, and I think it simplifies things and makes them feel like what they are, which is a contemporary alteration to a unrated portion of the building. So I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other, but do we have any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
No, sir. That's all.
Staff, anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Is there a motion in the matter of 717 Orleans Avenue?
Yes, in the matter of 717 Orleans Avenue, I move to conceptually approve the proposed millwork option one with final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for working with us on this.
Yeah, thanks for your input on this, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Thank you. We're going to move to new business and ask if there's an applicant present for 412 Dauphine Street. There is. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 412 Dauphine is an orange-rated building. There's a proposal to replace 5 existing wood casement windows with new aluminum-clad casement windows. Application materials received May 25th and June 14th, respectively. The windows proposed to be changed are located on the second floor at the rear portion of this orange-rated building. At least 3 of the windows are on the street-facing Dauphine elevation and are partially visible from the street. Staff found that when this building was originally constructed in the early 1980s, these openings featured French doors with guardrails at the exterior face of the building. Then in 1999-2000, an application was filed and approved to replace the existing French doors with the now existing casement windows over panels. Being about 23 years old in an orange-rated building, the existing windows are very simply detailed with only a frame and no dividing muntings or other details. The current proposal is to replace the windows only. The panels below would remain in place. The applicant proposed to install new double-paneled aluminum-clad windows that appear to match the existing simple wood windows. The guidelines state that the DCC will only consider the use of aluminum-clad wood windows for an orange or brown-rated building or new construction. Given the conditions presented here, including the rating of the building and the fact that these openings have previously been modified, staff finds the proposed replacement potentially approvable. Still, staff notes that this is a rather large building with many more existing wood windows, and staff is concerned about the potential precedent of approving aluminum-clad wood window replacements in this location. What would that mean for the other windows in this building, as well as for other similar orange-rated buildings with existing wood windows? Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Yeah, I'm Matthew Ahern. I'm the general contractor for the building owner and the condo owner. And my address is 933 Carpenter Street.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to say either to promote your idea or in response to the staff report?
Yeah, those windows, so we work and are familiar with some of the condo owners, and I don't know any of them that are having window problems like this guy's having. And it looks like maybe they just hadn't kept up with the sealants over the years. The windows have a lot of deep rot throughout the sill and around the entire window, and then it looks like they came back and caulked over and painted it over. And then you can see he's got a board up there because one of them looks like it's about to fall out. So that's it. We're just going to pull them out and put back in what looks exactly the same. KDM millwork is, they have experience with windows in the corner. They're the ones that I believe are the fabrication. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant or comments on the proposal?
Are they aluminum clad windows?
No, they're just wood.
They are.
Yeah, there's nothing special about them. White wood.
And the proposed windows?
Oh, yeah, they're aluminum clad. Yes, okay. I'm sorry.
So the details that you provided from Lincoln Wood Products,
right?
I'm not really seeing a cladding detail in the...
I mean, those were submitted by Acadian. I'm not really familiar with Lincoln Wood. The owner's buying the windows directly from Acadian. We're just doing the install.
So, what I'm seeing here is a pretty light proposal for something that I think is actually a pretty big question. We have a condo unit owner in a multi-unit building wanting to make a kind of a spot change, and frankly, you haven't given us much information about how this change is going to impact the overall appearance of the building, or as the staff points out, whether it's going to establish a precedent for every other window in the building. And so I'm first kind of disappointed that we don't have better documentation of what's actually going to happen here. And second, I'm very concerned about the precedent for this building and for other buildings of its age. And honestly, with all respect, not much of what you've presented here is compelling to make this change versus just replacing the windows, that are damaged. What do you think?
All of your sentiments I share. And I'm looking at slide 79, but there's one window that does not look like the others. It looks like one of these units has been replaced already with something else that has a bar down the middle. Yeah. Whereas all the others seem to, the two sashes seem to meet.
So how did, sorry to interject, how does this condo association work? Do they?
To us, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I mean, we have to have a letter from them saying that one person can change their.
Well, that's.
Yeah.
I think that's a kind of a front end.
Yeah.
Before it gets to us to look at. But, you know, in order to, from my perspective, in order to further review this, we need to actually see what you're doing. And giving us a kind of a stock jam, head jam and sill drawing that actually isn't the window that, as I understand it, you're going to install, and no sense of what that elevation looks like. Either in itself or in relation to the building, there's not enough information here.
There's not an elevation.
No, there's not. I mean, I'm not seeing one.
Yeah, I thought there was an elevation.
Well, but I'm not seeing, and I'm seeing stock, you know, kind of brick molding. I mean, so if we were looking at this, let's say this was a historic building, and you're asking to change the shape or configuration of the window, we'd ask for an existing window drawing and a head jamb and sill of it and have the proposed right next to it so we'd actually see, you know, how they differed, you know, what the sight lines were of the glass and the sash and stuff like that. So, I mean, I really think that the two questions raised by the staff are very good questions that need to be answered before we can actually make an informed decision here.
I think this photograph really shows how different this is than what is existing for the majority of the windows.
So you think that's...
That's what it says, so...
Oh, so the one on the third floor has already been replaced.
It would be similar to that, it looks like.
So the one on the third floor to the left...
Sorry, I have control.
On 79.
Yeah,
there
not,
you go.
Yeah.
So
that one was...
So that guy right there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean...
But we don't know that.
Well, I think that photograph shows that it's more similar to that than to the majority of the rest of the windows. And so would the committee be comfortable with sort of a one-off where one unit has different windows than the rest of the building?
Well, clearly somebody's already done that on the third floor.
So
I guess without review or approval by the BCC. I'm just having
different... Why not just do them all?
Well, that would be more straightforward. And that might be what we say. I mean, from a contracting point of view, I'm sure you'd rather change 9 windows than just 3.
Yeah.
You may have already changed 1 out of 9 anyway.
I agree with you. And I think in the future, they're all going to have these kind of problems. I think they're pretty cheap windows. They should all be changed out, honestly. And if you guys, I mean, tell me what y'all think. I know the owners up above there. I could approach them and see if they want to change them all out. And I agree with you. I apologize. We'll get you some better drawings and elevations instead of just some, you know, cut sheet out of the book. I'll get you something a little better.
And staff is also going to need to know how this condo association...
How structured it.
Yes. Who's authorizing this? It can't just be one unit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the fourth floor? I mean, is that an issue? And the first floor? Or are we just talking about second and third on those windows?
Well, I think we're talking about coherence in a building. Coherence. And as you start to, I mean, if this was a more highly rated building, we would certainly be looking at all the openings if you're changing out one. So, but I don't want to diminish the importance of this building just because it's a more recent construction. Someday this is going to be an old building, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to go back to the condo association and say this and say what you're saying, that it's more important to have a thing coherent. It alleviates problems in the future when the next guy comes to you and his windows are leaking and he's got to go through this over, which will probably happen. So
I mean, I think that this is a contemporary building, and, you know, they use contemporary materials and the materials have failed. which is not surprising. And so I think we need to defer this until you can kind of come up with a little bit more information about what you're doing, a little bit better idea about who's authorizing this work, and maybe a more coherent plan for the treatment of these openings throughout the building. So we actually know what's going to come down the road at some point in the future. And then from the staff, I'd really like to have a little bit more thinking about what this means to, you know, establish precedent in the neighborhood for buildings of this age and older, and how any decision we make here might impact the rest of this building or other buildings of its age.
Sure.
Can I ask any public comments on this proposal? Seeing no public comment, is there a motion in the matter of 417 Dauphine?
412.
412 Dauphine.
In the matter of 412 Dauphine, I move to defer this proposal to allow the applicant time to work with staff and the condo association to generate better documentation and a more detailed proposal for us to review next time.
Thank you. Stop. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're going to move on to appeals and violations. Is there anybody present for 612 Decatur Street?
620.
620. Excuse me. 620 Decatur Street. You have to keep an eye on me all the time. And we do have an applicant. Okay.
620 Decatur is a green-rated building. Is a proposal to retain work completed in deviation of approved permit, including improper stucco and plastic mesh. For application materials received December 5th, 2022 and November 28th, 2023, respectively. Following the deferral at the November 7th meeting, the applicant has submitted elevation drawings and some additional information regarding areas of repair. According to the elevation drawings, although the repairs are extensive all over the building, the effective square footage of the repairs appears to be somewhat limited. The applicant notes that the elevation that faces the neighboring 600 Decatur Street was by far the worst side. A photograph of that side shows various areas of repair. Still, even if the deeper repairs and use of mesh was limited, it is staff's understanding that the center flex fine finish material was applied to almost the entire building. The committee also inquired about a test patch for the removal of the plastic mesh that was utilized at various repair locations. To staff's knowledge, no test patch removal has been completed. The staff knows that the use of lath or adherence of any kind are prohibited unless pre-approved by the BCC. Staff would like to see an attempt to remove the mesh to understand the feasibility of removing the mesh without damaging the historic building fabric. Staff requests commentary from the architecture committee regarding the proposed retention.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the building?
My name is Bart Sutton. I'm the project manager for the 620 Decatur Street project.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
We have emailed Mr. Nick all the information that you guys have requested from the previous meeting on November 7th. Concerning breathability, water intrusion prevention, also the compatibility with the material we used over any other stucco or other material. I guess the biggest difference would be that we're not actually re-stuccoing the building, just simply patching cracks in the current exterior surface. So we're not removing anything as far as the old material, whatever was done in 2000. All we're doing is putting the base coat, the mesh, to allow the material to move and breathe without cracking further, and then putting a skim coat on top of the entire building.
Okay, thank you. So we have a lot of technical information provided. Was staff able to read through all of this and make any sense out of it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the concerns were, you know, it's not a lime-based product from what I can tell, and you know, it's that difference from our traditional stucco recipe mix and how that's going to kind of work and play over time.
Yeah, I mean, again, this was not heard at the last meeting, so Stephen, you were here for the first review of this. You know, the thing that I was hoping you'd be able to provide was a rationale for using this product versus actually using traditional methods to repair the wall.
Well, like I said, all we're doing is just basically a top coat, which is a thin polymer-based layer for painting. but we're also using the mesh to patch the cracks.
The polymer-based stucco would not be something we would approve.
Yeah, and so
on
what?
This building.
So I think you kind of answered part of the question, but not all of the question. I mean, this is a preservation body that's interested in, you know, the impact of whatever you're doing on the historic fabric that is the substrate for your work. And I mean, there were issues of moisture intrusion, as I remember. And then we raised the question of compatibility. And although you've shown us what it is, I'm having a little trouble understanding your elevations as to where this is being applied. Are you reading these elevations? Mm-hmm. Is it just these places where there's little kind of off color lines?
That's where the actual patches were made in the cracks that were existing before we started. Okay. That's the patch and the touch up. Then we went over that with the Centerflex top coat skim with the color added. Instead of putting something and then painting, we got the color added into the Centerflex for the top coat with the aggregate.
So the yellow represents where the mesh is.
Yes. To the best of my, I thought I had a drawing showing where the cracks were, and I took a million pictures, but so based on pictures that I took and the Google Earth images, that's the best I could do as far as determining where the major cracks were that we actually patched. We put the skim coat over the entire building. So yeah. We tried to do this in paint, but it was bleeding through.
So there's already been a skim coat over the entire building?
Except for the two sections on the side of the Millhouse side.
That would
not have been in the permit to do a polymer skim coat.
None of this would have been in the permit.
Yeah,
the permit literally says the stucco mix.
There's a lime-based stucco that is specified on the permit.
Did you guys ever see the
permit? Yes. So I think the test patch is actually very important.
I didn't know we wanted to test a patch to remove the mesh. So I know we talked about whether or not we could, and I talked to several vendors and several contractors who do it, and they said no, it won't. You can remove it, but it's going to damage the underlying material. That was the big.
And that's actually our concern as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what our concern is.
If we tried to remove it.
Right. That would be a huge hazard, you know, having all that getting chipped from up above, coming down on the dead strands and stuff like that.
Well, that's a means and methods question. It's not a preservation question. Right. That's on you as a contractor. I'm really stumped here because we're not getting the information that we requested. And I'm really concerned about a precedent here because skimming an entire building with material that's not... Am I reading this right?
Yeah, I think we don't know how the material is going to perform long term. Yeah.
Okay.
And how it would... whether it would trap moisture between it and the plaster below it, the masonry below that.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? There's always a good way to defer. Public comment. Anybody in the audience would like to speak? I see no public comment. To help us out here?
I'm stumped as well. You know, it's sort of like one of those situations we have when something has been done that can't be undone. What is our recourse? Because we don't understand what the physical implications are going to be over time.
Which is precisely
the problem.
The problem.
I thought the data sheet showed that it was compatible with all forms of stucco that we may have put over it. But the what's existing on there now before we put it is a basically a paint is the final layer that we saw. It's not a layer of stucco. It looks like a layer of paint with some aggregate in it, which is basically the same thing that we're doing.
So, you know, if we were going to entertain this as a kind of a one-off thing, we'd have to have some rationale for not establishing a precedent for every other stucco building in the French Quarter. And, you know, I think that would be a very dangerous move for us. You know, this is a building of age, but not great age. And when we think about other stucco-finished buildings, there's a much greater age and much more sensitive historic fabric. But the thing that I'm not hearing here from your side is a reason why this building is different than any other, or the problems that this building has are different from other buildings that we might encounter for a similar proposal. And so I'm very worried about establishing a precedent. I'm also concerned about the product, because what you've said is it can't be reversed. You can't take it off.
So the permit that was issued said to repair rotten / cracked wood trim and stucco, and to repaint building elements as per material stamped, BCC approved, all work to match existing, all paint to match existing color, all stucco to be mixed and applied as per BCC standard details attached. So this
that would
was
be the
not
stucco mix.
What happened at all. There's no indication of a complete skin coat or permitting at all.
Right, or anything else.
Or any other material.
So how did that happen?
Well, we didn't, like I said, we did not remove any of the...
Well, no, but they're talking about what the language of the permit doesn't really say anything about anything that you did.
I guess we don't understand how it went from a very specific permit detailing our lime-based stucco to what you applied on this building. Did you just completely ignore our permit?
Not intentionally.
No. If you're, it was more of like, from our distributor, it was more of a paint than a stucco material. A stucco material when you're talking about when you apply stucco. You know, there's a couple different methods. You use mesh, you use, you know, corner beads, you use different type of stuff like that. And, you know, we're talking about 3/4 of an inch thick versus a, you know,
I guess our permits are, the question is our permits are very specific and we write them very specifically so that this doesn't happen. So that you don't deviate.
So I think we do have a public.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
We have a
okay, thanks.
Thank
you do have a public comment.
I wasn't going to comment, but I think maybe for the clarity of...
I should state your name for the record.
Sheely.
Thank you.
The name association. When we entered this project, we had Apex get the permit and doing everything, and they started by fixing the cracks. And yes, the permit, when you read it, is very clear as far as what the requirements are. When they started to fix the cracks and paint without the stucco, just to paint over the repair of the surface cracks, they had complaints from the owners that the surface looked mixed up because the textures were so different. It was smooth where the cracks were, and then there was already varying texture of the existing stucco. So somewhere in the mix, and obviously it seems to be in our mistake, they went ahead and added this texture or stucco material to paint over so everything looked uniform. In that time period, I believe, is what I can understand, is where the mix-up came and where they were not using what was stated in the permit. Where we are today is the cracks that were superficial cracks are fixed. We didn't have any water intrusion or anything with those cracks when they started because everything had been solid on the inside with no water intrusion. The wall that is not done is there with the cracks filled in and whatnot. If we just watch it, can't be, and it's pretty clear that it can't be, it's bonded so it can't be taken from the underlying structure. But if we could look at it as, obviously, if we're going to stucco that remaining wall, it would be done per the permit, and then have it as a test and watch the done that were done incorrectly to kind of be on top. When I did ask Apex the question of the breathability of this project, of this product, we were assured, and this was after we realized it was the wrong substance, that it was breathable and it should not cause any moisture between the layers. Obviously, time is the only thing that's going to be able to show us if that is the case, but if we could maybe on a, you know, a regular schedule have a test area where we're just monitoring and watching it very closely.
That actually kind of brings up a point that I was going to make too, is that none of this product data includes anything about vapor permeability. That might be something that the manufacturer can provide, but without having, it's also something that can be tested in the field. So we might need to consider doing some of that testing in the field if the manufacturer spec sheets don't have, because there's not really anything in this that's providing data that shows that it is breathable at all.
And we did call a masonry expert company, and they I explained that it was for the BCC and everything, and they said, let's just wait, we don't want to get involved at this point. So otherwise, we would have had that. For you, I'm sorry.
So Noah just
found. But we definitely, I mean, would be willing to do that.
Yes.
Okay, staff.
What did you find?
The spec sheet for this, the first, the end of the description says, stucco base conforms to ASTM C926, the standard specification for application of Portland cement-based stucco. Just basically what we don't want to see on top of stucco, period. And the question whether it's too late and the cat's out of the bag.
Well, and we don't really know what kind of stucco is up there.
No.
There is. It says if you've got the finish with the alpha base coat and the flex guard for, it's 15.1 perms.
Which is very low permeability. Very low. You know, again, this is one of those situations where, you know, and I'm kind of talking to the condo association president more than you are, because you're kind of, you're lost in this. We don't have very many good options here. And the idea that the majority of the building has been treated this way and that a minority remains without change, you know, I think that knowing what the substrate here that this material was applied to might make a big difference. I mean, so it occurs to me that this is a 20th century building built during the time when Portland cement was available, yeah. And it's likely that the building, or possible the building, was stuccoed with a Portland base.
We did try to find that information as well.
Well, you can get a test. Yeah, the stucco tested. And I think that might actually change our level of concern.
Sure.
And it might also differentiate this application from other applications where we're actually dealing with kind of 19th century pre-Portland stucco. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we can do perhaps is consider deferring this to give you a chance to do a little bit more research about what this is applied to. Thinking that if it's a Portland-based product, it's a little different than if it's a lime-based product, because then, you know, the kind of the assumption or the assertion that the staff made in the permit may not be correct, because they're asking for kind of a traditional stucco application on a more non-historic stucco building. So does that make sense at all?
So we asked for that in time to time.
Yeah, I mean, so I think this could be an argument in your favor if you are applying this over a Portland-based stucco,
okay,
rather than a lime-based stucco. Because, I mean, my inclination right now is to not establish a precedent by approving this material at all. And so what I think it's incumbent on the applicant to do is to provide us with an argument that differentiates this building from all other buildings in the French Quarter, and why this application should be allowed for some good reason. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
I appreciate the waterproofing issue. I mean, this is a real thing. But I'm also thinking that we don't want somebody saying, well, Jack's Brewery got to do it. I have an 1830 townhouse. I want to do it on my building, too.
Right.
Okay?
Understood.
because this is really the bigger picture that we're looking at. So I'm going to suggest a deferral so you can give more information to us. Is that the staff okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 620 Decatur Street?
Yes, in the matter of 620 Decatur, I move to defer to allow the applicant time to test the underlying material to determine whether it is a Portland cement-based stucco and to work with staff to on any other details to help substantiate the applicability of the product used.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. So we're going to kick you down the road until 2 weeks from now or more, but we're trying to give you a chance to keep
Please.
This. Yeah. Okay. Next item is 638 Dufferin Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. We have a staff report, please.
Sure. 636-38 Dauphine is a brown-rated building. Does it propose to retain metal porch enclosure, constructed deviation of approved plans? Application materials received March 6th and October 13th, 2023, respectively. The Architecture Committee reviewed and conceptually approved a metal porch enclosure at this property at the March 28th meeting. Staff requested more information and better drawings from the applicant, hoping to pin down all the details of the enclosure, and received a shop drawing on May 10th. The shop drawing showed two horizontal rails to mimic the existing railing design, with the vertical bars spaced 4 inches apart below the horizontal and 6 inches apart above the horizontal. There were no notes of any kind of about any kind of backing or additional material on the enclosure. A permit for the work was issued May 12th. Staff inspected the property on June 22nd and found that the enclosure had not been constructed as per the plans. There was only a single horizontal rail. The vertical bars were spaced evenly at about 4 inches apart for the entire height of the enclosure, and an expanded metal mesh had been added as a backing. The applicant is seeking to retain the gate and enclosure as built. Staff notes that expanded metal mesh or other metal backings to metal gates and fences are not appropriate. Staff also finds the simplified design too much of a departure from the approved design that emulated the railing. Staff recommends denial of the proposed retention with the option to modify the enclosure to the approved design.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Yes, Shelley Wagasback. My address is 13 Serenity Drive, and my husband and I are the owners of this property.
Great. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or a response to the staff report?
Yes. So the I sent the installer all the information that I received from you guys, the spacing of the vertical bars, the upper and lower, the starburst thing. I sent him everything that was specified to me and didn't think too much about it at that point because I gave him everything. I gave him the permit. I gave him everything that he needed. And I'm taking full responsibility with the mesh because when I was talking to him prior to them installing, I said, we probably need to do like a little mesh thing around the handle, around the doorknob, so people can't reach in, because we know they will. Well, unbeknownst to me, he took that as enclosing the entire thing in mesh, and I didn't see this until after the fact when it was all installed. So I'm hoping we can come to some reconciliation with this, because the gate really has been a huge sigh of relief because of what was going on the porch prior to all this. And granted, they're breaking in other areas, but the porch is secure. So I hope that we can come to some kind of resolution with the mesh part. As far as the vertical 4-inch and 6-inch difference from what you guys desired and what he actually did, I don't know how we can go from there.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I don't have any questions right now.
I think the mesh is the biggest problem.
Is there any public comment?
I can definitely see how we got here because the drawings that we have are not super detailed. So the guy who's actually building it probably had to make some decisions on his own about what things needed to be. But I do find the expanded metal mesh to maybe be the the most jarring part of the design.
So I assume it's tack welded to the reverse side?
Yes.
Which could be cut, I guess.
Well, so help me with this, just in terms of the approval process. Was this approved at the commission level, or?
It was just at the committee.
And so we actually entertained the hardship of what was going on the porch as a reason for approving.
Right. And this order.
Well, so.
So we, you know, we have some issues with the details, but I mean, the biggest concern is the master aspect of it, 100%.
Can I say something real
quick? Of course, please.
I know y'all don't want the mesh there. We didn't approve the mesh, but really, if the mesh wasn't there, I'd be getting so much stuff thrown on the porch, it would be ridiculous. At least the mesh prevents them from throwing as much stuff. They can't get, trying to be tactful here, but it would be so much more of a mess. It's such a protective, being inside, knowing that the mesh is there is really comforting, especially when my daughter's there by herself.
So, which is a mitigating factor, not really an architectural factor. I think that there's a learning moment for all of us in the idea that approving a drawing like this leaves a lot to the imagination. There's nothing in the drawing that seems to support, to suggest the framing for the door, the hinge supports, the transom bar. There's very little in this drawing that would suggest what the outcome of the construction might be. So as we think about this from a staff perspective, it might have been helpful to have a little bit more detailed drawing, because there's not much in this drawing that would suggest anything about outcomes. The thing that I'm thinking is, you know, there's so many examples of really beautiful and slightly beautiful and then even somewhat unfortunate metalwork in the French Quarter. This really comes in at the very lowest range of that. You know, it's just not very pretty. I mean, I appreciate that it gives you a sense of security, which is, you know, why we entertained it in the first place. But this is really unfortunate all the way around.
The basic design was based on the original screen door.
Yeah, but the guy that
burst on top.
Yeah, the guy didn't even do that in his actual fabrication. I mean, we don't have a double bar for the lock rail. We don't have a lot of the details that were actually suggested in your drawing. We just have kind of prison bars with mesh behind them.
I understood this committee to want the most simple design possible, because I did have some more elaborate thoughts, but the end conversation was keep it as simple as you can.
Yes. But then it got really heavy, and then the mesh was added. So, I mean, that element, the proportion here. I mean. Does this swing out or in?
It swings out.
Over the stoop. Have I asked for public comment? I'm stalling here. Some direction from the staff.
One of the things that I keep thinking about is what you're describing as a hardship with the issues of what quality of life issues that you're experiencing, which we're very sympathetic to. However, this body speaks to the architecture. And it might be such that the architecture committee expresses their concerns with it architecturally, and then you express your hardship concerns to our commission, who is in a position to deal with hardship in a way that the architecture committee is not. And we try to keep these things consistent, so it doesn't put the architecture committee in a position of commenting on things that are outside of their purview.
Thank you.
Is there, Shelley, is there no way you could compromise on that mesh? Like,
as far as cutting it out?
Do you want to speak to someone about that at least?
I could.
I mean, keeping it around the, like you were saying, around the knob, but maybe speak with someone about.
Generally, what we've done is actually approve hardware that doesn't require that. Lots of times it'll be like a push button or something like that. It's also going to depend on what safety and permits will allow. But typically the mesh as a means to prevent reaching through and doing something is not typically how we do it. Sometimes we'll do pickets that are closer together.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking this is a particularly inelegant piece of work. And it doesn't conform to what was approved.
When we talked about it, I think we were, the intent was to replicate the screen enclosure that once was here. And I think what the mesh is doing is kind of replicating a screen. I don't think I would have picked expanded metal mesh. I think another type of mesh would have been fine. And installing the mesh would have made installing the vertical bars unnecessary. We could have had mesh panels that looked more like the screen enclosure.
Without the vertical bars?
Yeah.
And I think taking that to another level is the comfort that you find that the mesh provides could also be provided by insect screen.
I'm sorry, what?
Insect screen that was there originally. So, I mean, I think there's a couple different ways to solve this problem and kind of stick to the precedent that we... that you shared with us for the screen enclosure.
Okay, well, I'll contact the installer, the manufacturer from Leo, and see if there's anything that he can do with removing the mesh and maybe put an actual screen right there just to prevent people from throwing stuff on the porch, if anything. I don't know what he's going to say, but I will definitely contact him tomorrow and see if there's anything.
In my experience, anything that's
worth a shot, right?
That's been welded can be unwelded.
Yeah.
So, also, do you express these concerns to the 8th District and to City Council about these quality of life issues?
Oh, absolutely.
I figured you did. I wanted to put that in the record. So.
Yes, absolutely.
So we have the option of denying retention or deferring it to allow you to do a little bit more investigation. To kind of come up, to work with staff to come up with something that might meet standards and be allowed to retain. Is that something you're willing to engage in?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. We can continue the conversation.
Yeah, because one thing that I have to say, I live downtown too, and quality of life issues are a very real thing. And so we want to keep people living in the neighborhood. And if it's impossible to live there because of the quality of life issues, we don't want to make you move to Metairie just because you can't stand people throwing stuff onto your porch. So I'm going to suggest we do a deferral rather than a denial, just to see if we can get something better, if you're inclined. So is there a motion in the matter of 638 Dauphine Street?
Sure. Before I make the motion, though, I'll just add that I think if you have either of these sketches as an exhibit to your contract with your fabricator, then I think you've got at least something to point to that it does not exactly match either one of those sketches. So I'm hoping that they'll be open to working with you to modify a little bit.
I'm pretty confident he's going to say, yeah, it is what it is, and if I want to pay to have the mesh removed or whatever, that's going to be the case. He's not going to take responsibility for not following this exactly, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's between you and him.
Yeah.
So is there a motion in the matter of 638 Dauphine Street?
Yes, in the matter of 638 Dauphine, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant time to work with the steel fabricator and the staff on a solution that more closely
matches the approved drawings.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for working with us on this. I wish that we had approached this differently at this point, but
we tried. I think we all just kind of got caught up in this starburst and that door and this vertical and that vertical. So that's why when I finally got something written of what you guys would like, I just gave it to him and I said, "Do you understand what they're saying?" And he said, "Yes, I do."
Yep.
So it really didn't take it too much farther than that. He said, "Yes, I understand, and I'm gonna put it up."
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, we'll look forward to seeing you again.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Next item is 730 the St. Louis Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Do we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 730 St. Louis is a green-rated main building and service hall with a brown-rated rear addition. This is an appeal to retain work completed without benefit of BCCA review and approval, including fence, gate, and security alterations, and to correct long-standing violations per application and materials received August 28, 2023 and November 13, 2023, respectively. This property has long-standing demolition by neglect issues, but the biggest concerns in recent years have been work without permit. The BCC, state fee and permits, and zoning all have red flags posted on this property until all issues are resolved, including the unapproved sidewalk cafe, excessive signage, and all work related to the 2022 and 2023 stop work orders. Some aspects of the scope of work being handled at staff level and are not included in this report. The applicant proposes the following work to abate the violations. And the numbers are not concurrent because they correspond to what's on the drawings. One, an appeal to retain metal gate installed without permit. The previously existing wood panel gate had been in place since at least 1959 and had a distinctive, appropriate character. Metal gates with metal backing are not allowed except in very limited circumstances, typically orange-rated buildings or lower, and in purely utilitarian areas such as screening and dumpster, not at the street front. Staff is also concerned that the previous gate had panels that encouraged airflow in the alley, while this does not. Staff recommends denial of the appeal to retain the gate with wooden alternatives to be submitted to staff for review. Three, appeal to retain vertical wood board fence at rear property. Staff recommends conceptual approval with the proviso that a cap must be added for typical details. Seven, impermissible light fixtures will be removed. While the existing fixtures are inappropriate in size and location, staff does not want to see all exterior lighting removed from this property and street front, particularly given some of the recent public safety issues that have centered around this block. Staff requests that the applicant provide a lighting plan and manufacturer spec sheets for replacement lighting, not just removal, prior to permit. This should also include the side alley where temporary utility lights currently hang from hooks on the wall. Eight, appeal to retain six security cameras. While no specs have been provided, the cameras appear to be appropriate and conceptually approvable for retention, with the exception of one camera installed on the bottom face of the balcony fascia. This camera must be relocated to beneath the balcony. Camera wiring must also be cleaned up. Nine, appeal to retain electrical conduits. The guidelines call for all electrical wiring to be placed in conduits, with all conduits to be placed along the inside quarters of building surfaces as much as possible, such as along gallery or balcony purlins at the deck line, and painted to match the adjacent surfaces. These three conduits are laid on the underside of the joists. Temporary lights and wires are also abundant. Staff notes that both interior and exterior electrical work appear to have been done at this property without permits from safety and permits in the electrical division, so it is unclear if these elements are code compliant. Note 10 states rear roof damage will be repaired and entire roof system will be replaced with slate. Slate is shown on the main building roof plan, but is not noted as being in the scope of the current permit. Staff requests clarification that all roofs will end up being natural slate with galvanized flashing, downspouts, and gutters. If this is the case, then all work is approvable. 15, courtyard paving work began without a permit and a stop work order was posted. The applicant proposes existing paving was removed in preparation for new flagstone finish over concrete. The existing trench drain will be retained along the property line to assist in drainage for the street to the street for 730 and the adjoining property. See photo 22 for existing alley paving prior to demolition. See first floor plan for drainage. Flagstone sample will be submitted to BCC staff for approval. Staff requests clarification that the concrete slab remains in place and no change will be made to drainage locations, size, or slope, only to the finished flagstone. If so, staff recommends approval. 16, appeal to retain existing 5-ton and 10-ton units that serve the grocery. No spec sheets have been provided, only unit labels, so the units can be documented but not fully reviewed. The applicant also proposes to install three new 2-ton units to serve the upper floor apartments and screen the area. The units are typical in size and noise output. Screening detail drawings will be needed prior to permit, but staff recommends conceptual approval of the new equipment and retention. 17, appeal to retain medical security bars installed at the front entrance stoop. While some deterrents have been considered and found approvable by the committee, bars of this height and style are too visually obtrusive. staff recommends denial of the appeal to retain, and 20, appeal to retain tile and main building entrances. The current material is inappropriate for the age and style and rating of the building. Staff recommends denial with an alternative to be proposed.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property, please?
Kurt Faubacher, 1050 Norman's, South Norman C. Francis Parkway. I'm an architect here on behalf of the owner.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
I just have a couple questions on these items. Most of them are fine. I get it. I understand. Number 9, the electrical conduit. I'm not quite clear on how y'all want us to proceed on that with everything you brought up.
This, right?
Hmm?
We're talking about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, whatever.
Well, that light fixture's gonna go away.
Yeah.
And the temporary light goes away. So it's really just those three conduits.
Oh, Jesus.
That I'm assuming goes and feeds the rear building. I mean, if we were to relocate it so it was against the wall and then paint it out to either match the underside of the balcony or paint it out to match the building color.
So if it's done at the deck line, you know, with those purlins so that it's kind of discreetly, you know, it just blends in with that substructure rather than being hung below it, then that would be done per the guidelines. I didn't make a recommendation on that, just because the electrical work and whether or not it can be retained as is, I wasn't sure where y'all were going to fall on it, and then also we're not sure that it's been done to code or not, so retention is not something that we would recommend, but it is possible that maybe they just need to be kind of rerouted rather than wholesale removed. It's kind of difficult to know until a lot of those lights are taken down and
we
don't really know
what
it's
for.
Yeah. Right.
Do we typically, to run these along the deck line, we would have to drill holes into the outriggers. Mm-hmm. Is that something that we, that meets the guidelines, that's A-okay with everybody?
I don't think it's really physically possible.
Wait, what are you talking about? I guess it's just an unusual, like, what is it for?
Yeah, usually doing that is a little bit easier when we're dealing with the metal structure at a front balcony rather than a side wooden one. So the guidelines are maybe not detailed enough on that point.
Because it looks like they put blocking in between the purlins.
Yeah, I think that's like a little piece of unistrut or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's very workmanlike work.
I'm sorry?
It's very workmanlike work.
Oh, workman.
Like some guy showed up with his pickup truck and installed some unistrut and some conduit.
Well, I mean, that's why I questioned
well,
that's, if it's all of your code.
Well, I know. I mean, I think this is a...
can of worms.
Yeah. So, what is your position on all the other items that were cited by the staff?
The only other one I have a question about, everything else looks good, is I just want to be transparent, make sure there's no misunderstanding, but the courtyard paving, when I read it, it sounds like you think the concrete slab is still there. And last time I was there, it's dirt with plywood on top.
That wasn't clear just because we've done so many inspections of this place that I looked at like 4 different ones that were on site, and they all had the concrete still in place. So, yeah,
if
the concrete's not there.
Yeah, I think the most recent inspection photos that we had were from when Nora took pictures of them while they were ripping it out, but I've never seen the inside of the courtyard personally.
Well, our intention would be to re-pour the slab and then put the flagstone there.
How are you addressing the permeability on the site by doing that?
The current building of the site.
Permeability.
Permeability.
Oh, permeability? There is no permeability in the alleyway.
You removed the concrete.
It's just going to slope towards the street and drain.
Well, now it's permeable.
That has to comply with the zoning, with CZO requirements for percentage of
permeability. The other thing is that one of the neighbors of the property has contended that she had a French drain in the alleyway that was destroyed by the excavation of the concrete without her permission.
There was a trench that ran along her building that she has one downspout that drains into, if that's what she's referring to.
I've gotten many phone calls from her.
That's going to be put back or replaced when they pour the concrete.
But you're not going to be able to pour the concrete. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to have to be a sand bed, I would assume, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that would be an issue for them. Just lay it on a sand bed. So it's only permeable at the grout lines. And that's acceptable. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, if we go with a VCC-approved material like flagstone, it's not going to be permeable. But if you're saying the grout lines, which would be sand, is enough to satisfy the permeability, then
if it's on a sand and gravel bed rather than a concrete slab, mm-hmm. then it meets the permeability requirements. Yeah.
All right. Well, then we will not pour the slab.
And how about this gate that the staff recommended be returned? This would be note.
Yeah, I would just have them remove it. And I don't know if they still have the old gate. If not, then we'll construct a new wood gate that matches.
No, you mean this one?
No.
You mean the door?
Yeah, note number one.
Got it.
I'm kind of going through the list.
Yes.
Okay. And then you're in a, they're recommending approval to retain the board fence, provided it get capped, and you're agreeing with that?
So that's actually not the board fence that I was referring to when I recommended approval. That one stuck past me just because there's a lot of items on this one. There's another picture that's further back where there's a vertical board fence. That's the one I was referring to. It might be further back. That one is, but the one that's on here, I'm not sure. That looks like maybe it was done by the neighbor.
Instead, can you come back real quick? I see, I wasn't aware that's the fence you were talking about. Okay, you didn't get a picture of it. It's a lot. Sorry. Are you talking about this little piece at the end right here? Yes, the photograph is showing.
So you would be willing to cap it?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That's a simple solution.
And you're going to remove the lights, but will you provide us with a lighting plan to show?
Yes, I'll provide a lighting plan.
Okay.
With one fixture centered over each opening in the front.
And then the cameras. And number eight, you're willing to reposition the cameras?
Yeah, the one that's on the fascia we can relocate.
Okay.
As Aaron pointed out.
And then we need a proposal for the conduits and electrical lines that are exposed.
All right, let's see. We need, okay, that's the wood cap. Yeah, so you need a drawing for the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And for the conduit, if we can figure out how to relocate that, maybe run it inside, I'm not sure.
That'd be best.
And then I guess update the courtyard to where there will be no slab.
Mm-hmm.
Submit you the samples.
So number 10, the slate question. Is it, as the staff, they requested clarification about which rooms will end up with natural slate?
Yeah, the entire roof.
Okay, so we just need clarification on that.
Yeah.
Courtyard paving, we've talked about. They're recommending approval for the mechanical. How about the security bars on the front of the building that are in that opening? You're going to remove those? The ones to the left?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell them they got to remove it.
Let's
I think that's actually quite important.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tile.
And then this.
At the main building entrance.
The tile, I'll have them remove it and replace it with matching flagstone that's on the sidewalk. A gray blue flagstone.
Yeah, of all the things, I actually find that least objectionable for some reason. But
this has become a new thing in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing it. I don't know why.
Well, it kind of extends the floor of the building into the depth of the wall, but if you can change that to flagstone.
Sure. I mean, when the doors are closed, the step is very visible from the exterior because the doors are not swinging out.
Yeah.
Swinging in.
I mean, I can also see this, since it is kind of a low rise, that the contrasting paving is kind of a safety feature to mark what's going on there. Okay, is there any public comment on the proposals for 730 St. Louis Street? Yes.
Hi, Erin Holmes from BC Cora. I'm really pleased that the owners have reached out to an architect to address a lot of these longstanding issues. 2008, that's 15, 16 years that this has been going on. I'm so glad that y'all are addressing some of the stuff that's happening behind in the interior of the property. What I can say is that the excessive signage, which I realize is being removed, but I'd like to see some kind of commitment that it's not going to return, and also the cafe tables. I don't know if y'all know this, but the cafe tables, the corporate branded cafe bar tables, they were actually bolted into the sidewalk. And there was a fight, and there were some injuries, and NOP had to remove them. And so these are becoming a problem for the public right-of-way, for accessibility, and then the signage is just ridiculous. I'm just gonna go there. We have exterior neon. We have additional signs that are just kind of on every surface. We have these kind of blade fans. There was a life-size chicken on the sidewalk for months. And additionally, they frequently use their speaker system and direct it straight into the public right-of-way, blaring music. It is far beyond egregious, and it would be one thing if it were just this one sole bad actor, but, and then of course the sandwich signs that are kind of everywhere now, but it begets more, and it's kind of this, it contributes to this, well, it doesn't matter what we do, it's going to take them 15 years to catch up to me. I'm very pleased that we're going to move forward, but I would like to see some kind of visual commitment that the property owner is going to abide by all of these changes that they are going through this architect to make. So, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. They sell a lot of alcohol here.
They do have, yeah, they have that daiquiri machines.
Yeah. Has been any exploration of their license?
So I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, zoned as a grocery store.
This property had was able to use a non-conforming grocery store with an ADO because of its long-standing usage as such. Currently, it is a packaged liquor store. Daiquiri shop with free samples to any passersby, and they sell red chicken.
So that's how I skirted that.
And we did, because of the extensive violations, work without permit, or the stop work orders, including stop work orders from safety and permits, major zoning violations, all of that, staff did recommend for this one that the ADO be withheld, since we were not sure if there were any life safety issues at this property in relation to the unpermitted work. So as of right now, as far as we have been told by the departments that are actually in charge of administrating such things, we only believe that they do not currently have an ADO.
They don't?
I'm sorry?
They do not have a...
I believe they don't, because we recommended that it not be. And this was part of getting all these issues addressed, was part of zoning.
That certainly is a motivation.
There was a fine from the ADO department that was not paid when they were trying to get their ADO renewed. And I can't check and see if that fine was paid. So, even at but that, as I recall, was the major, another major impediment too. Like, they wouldn't issue it because there were outstanding fines.
It should also be noted that we have been continually signing this for since 2018, and they have paid upwards of $70,000 in fines.
Yeah, on the subject of the violations, there's currently a judgment of nearly $20,000 that's going to go into effect in the middle of January if the signage isn't removed by the next adjudication date.
They keep paying the fines. Hmm. We keep citing them.
Well, we get a permit to do this work, we'll get it all rectified.
I mean, you don't need a permit to take down
signage.
The signage can't guarantee is the signage, because they're infamous for putting stuff in the windows. I don't know how you
control it. With the ABO. okay. Is there any more discussion of this matter before we go to a motion?
No, not for me.
Is there anything you'd like to say before we make a motion on this matter?
No, I have no other comments.
Thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 730 St. Louis Street?
Yes, in the matter of 730 St. Louis, noting that we have an applicant that is interested in rectifying all of these matters per the staff report, I move to adopt the staff report with its conceptual approvals and denials as written, with the applicant to submit a lighting plan, an electrical conduit plan, courtyard paving plan, and any other materials necessary to work it out with the staff.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you.
The next and last item on the agenda is 1014 St. Philip Street. Do we have an applicant present?
The applicant's representative said at the beginning of the meeting that there was an unfortunate medical conflict. They asked that it be deferred so that the owner could attend.
Okay. Do I have a motion in the matter of 1014 St. Philip Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1014 St. Philip, I move to defer at the applicant's request.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. That brings us to the end of our agenda. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the Architecture Committee is December 19th. Saying that to everybody that already knows that. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.